If you would like to read the setting of Scripture that the Lord has placed on my spirit, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 6. So Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse number 6. The writer of the book of Hebrews says in verse number 6, chapter 5, as he says also in another place, he's quoting Scripture, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And pay particular attention here to verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whose reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we have the opportunity to gather in your name, and we are grateful this morning that we have sensed the touch of your Holy Spirit here today. We come to the reading of your word, and Father, I would pray this morning that you would allow us to be used by the Lord this morning to speak what you would have me to speak. I pray that you would put your thoughts in my mind and your word in my mouth and help me to be an instrument in your hand to accomplish your will today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to glorify Jesus and edify the hearts of the hearers. I would ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give me liberty. Without it, I am incapable. Without it, I will be ineffective. But if you will anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you will touch me and enable me and grant me your grace and your divine anointing to have liberty in the house of the Lord, to speak as you would have me speak, then we will all be blessed and enriched by it. We ask these things today. In the awesome and mighty name of Jesus, we ask it in his name and for his glory. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title what the Lord has placed on my heart this morning. I want to title it simply, No Push. No Push. As we begin here this morning, it is my intention, and I believe it is the will of the Holy Spirit, for each one of us to examine our hearts and to consider our growth or our spiritual growth in the Lord. I would like to begin this morning by asking you to ask yourself the question, am I growing in the Lord? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you further along in your relationship with God today than you were last year at this time? Are you more diligent? Are you more committed to living a godly and holy life before the Lord? Are you more obedient and more dedicated? Are you actively living out your faith? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you more passionate and more pursuant of the things of God than you have been in the past? I submit to you this morning that each one of us know the answer to that question. I submit to you this morning that each one of us knows the condition of our heart, and we are either passionately striving to grow in the Lord, or maybe we have grown cold and content and complacent. Maybe we have grown stagnant and sluggish and stationary, immobile and motionless. But I submit to you this morning that we all know what the condition of our heart is. Nobody has to come around, tap you on the shoulder, and tell you whether you are growing or not. We know. Can you say amen? We know. Just a simple, honest, transparent examination of our heart. All we have to do is just simply look inward and answer the question, am I growing? Am I better off now than I was this time last year? Is my relationship with the Lord more vibrant than it's ever been? And I will just tell you this morning, beloved, we are either moving forward or we are sliding back. Hello? We are either advancing or regressing. And the question that the Holy Spirit brought to my heart this past week is, which one is it? Are we growing or are we regressing? I want to take you to our text. The Apostle Paul is whom I believe wrote the book of Hebrews. The author of the book of Hebrews is actually unknown, but if you read through the book of Hebrews, it sounds an awful lot like the writings of Paul. But the writer of the book of Hebrews is attempting to explain to the readers that he is trying to reach how that God the Father had made Jesus Christ a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that study within itself is a very beautiful and very wonderful study. We won't get into that today. Time will not allow us to. But he's attempting to share with the reader. He's attempting to share with the audience that would read his letter, the beautiful picture of Jesus becoming our high priest. And what I want you to notice this morning is that as he is explaining to them this earthly priesthood and how that Jesus has been made our heavenly high priest, he stops himself short. He stops right in the middle almost of his explanation. And he says concerning Jesus and his priesthood in verse 11, of whom we have many things that we would like to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Wow. Gee, Paul got right to the point. He says, I have many things that I want to say to you and many things that I want to share with you, and I want to paint you this beautiful picture of how that there was an earthly priesthood, but now we have a heavenly high priest. But I can't go into all of it. Seeing you are dull of hearing, that's the King James. The God's Word translation says it this way. We have a lot to explain about this, but since you have become too lazy to pay attention, explaining it is difficult. Hello? I have many things that I want to share with you, but because you have become lethargic, and because you have become apathetic, and because you have no desire to grow, it's hard for me to share with you what God has done for you, seeing that you have become dull of hearing. Paul was saying to them, I have so much more that I want to share with you, and it is a difficult thing to understand, not because the message is complicated, but because you have become too lazy to listen. You have become too lethargic to pay attention. You have become sluggish in your approach for the things of God. He proceeds to tell them in verse 11, you have been a Christian long enough. You have been following Christ long enough. And by this time now, you ought to be teachers. You ought to have such a grasp on it that you should be explaining it to younger converts. But you have need for someone to re-explain it to you. Wow, what an indictment. What an indictment. He says, you have become like a child in need of milk and not strong meat. He's saying you are still a babe in the Lord. And I realize that what I have been asked to speak this morning is a very difficult word. But I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit would like for us to just examine our heart to find out if we are growing as we ought to grow. Understand this morning that it is God's desire that we all grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from strength to strength until we come into the fullness of the Lord and we are made in the very image of His Son, Jesus. Understand that it is God's desire that we grow up and that we literally emanate the things of the Lord. Can you share the scriptures that you're thinking of, Pastor? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 through verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 through verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about the fact that after Jesus' crucifixion, that he descended into the lower part of the earth and that he took captivity captive and that he ascended up on high. And when he did that, the Bible says, and he gave gifts unto men. And here are the gifts that he gave unto the church. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and we are all made to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine but speaking the truth in love, quote unquote, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Understand that what the writer in Ephesians is saying to us is that when Jesus ascended back on high, he left for his church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers so that they could do the work of the ministry, so that you would be edified and built up until we all come, amen, into the measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until we all begin to emulate the Lord. He's saying that we, amen, we would grow up and be like Christ, that we wouldn't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that we wouldn't be unstable. How many of you know the Bible said that an unstable individual is unstable in all of their ways? He's saying that we, amen, that we would not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but that we would be speaking the truth in love, and that we would grow up to be like him. God intends for us to ever be increasing in our spiritual growth, ever be increasing in our walk with God. Let me give you some scriptures throughout the Bible that prove that point. God intends for us to be going from one level to another level and growing and ever enlarging and ever increasing. Job chapter 7, or chapter 8, verse number 7. Job said, even though thy beginnings are small, yet thy latter end should increase. Job 17 and 9 said, the righteous shall hold his way, and he that hath clean hands shall become stronger and stronger. Psalms 84 and 7 said, they shall go from strength unto strength. Proverbs 4 and 8 said that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? Get a picture of it. If you're up early in the morning, amen, 6 o'clock, you can just, I mean, it's just twilight outside, but there's light. And then around 6:30, 7 o'clock, quarter to 7, a little sliver of sunlight hits the top of the mountain, and it begins to rise. And the further or the higher it rises, the more light it shines. That's what the writer of Proverbs is saying about our relationship with Christ. Amen. It may start out small, but it should grow and grow and grow until we are like the noonday sun, declaring the good works and the glory of our God, and that our life emulates the things of God. We are to grow from faith to faith and strength to strength and glory to glory until we are made in the very image of Jesus. And let me just tell you this morning, there ain't any of us that have reached that point yet. Put me at the head of the line. Our relationship with God should be ever growing, ever expanding, ever increasing, ever enlarging, growing in him. And the question becomes, are we growing in the Lord? Yes, we have been called to be childlike in our faith, but we have not been called to be childish in our behavior. Yes, we have been called to be childlike in our faith, but we have not been called to be childish in our behavior. We are to be full-grown Christian individuals that show forth a maturity and a growth in the Lord. Beloved, we need to understand that when a child is born, we're talking about, you know, some little babies being born into our congregation. They will need attention. They will need help. Because when a child is born into this world, it requires an extra level of care, right? It requires an extra, it needs to be fed, changed, nurtured. Amen. It needs to be allowed the opportunity to develop. That little baby is going to need to be looked after and cared for, or it would never survive. I thought about this when I was putting my notes together. Little children don't understand the difference between ant spray and hairspray. Right? Little children don't understand the difference between chocolate-covered peanuts and rabbit pellets. And everything goes where? They don't know that they can't touch just anything, but they will try to touch anything they can reach and climb anything they can climb and crawl anywhere they can crawl. They need an extra level of care. They don't realize that the stove is hot. They have no idea that they can fall off the chair. They need to be cared for. They need to be nurtured. They need to be watched over. But somewhere along the line, after you have instructed them and after you have given them instructions, somewhere along the line, they need to become a little more self-sufficient. Hello? It's natural for a child to continue to grow. Coded down on the inside of that little baby is the genetic code to grow up and become a young man or a young woman. All it needs is that care. All it needs is that nurturing. All it needs is that watchful eye. It just needs to be tended to. And coded down on the inside of that little baby is the genetic code that it grow and become an adult. The same thing is true in the realm of the spirit. The same thing is true in the realm of the spirit. God has placed down on the inside of us, amen, the spiritual code or the spiritual genetics to grow up and be like Jesus if we are cared for, nurtured, and we take in nourishment and we take in instruction and correction and we allow it to do its job in our life. We too will grow in the Lord. If something doesn't grow, then there's something wrong. Can you say amen? If something doesn't grow and mature, something is wrong. If our little baby doesn't grow and doesn't mature like it's supposed, I mean, we take it to the doctor and go, Doc, he's 10 years old and he's still sticking his fork in the light socket. Something wrong. Something wrong. He's 30 years old and still talks like Junior Sample. Only you hee-haw fans will get that. I mean, you know, we let him out the door and we find him in the driveway eating dirt. Something is wrong. The same thing is true in the realm of the spirit. When there is no growth and there is no maturity and there is no signal of growing up to being more like Christ, something is wrong. Something is wrong. At the new birth, God put down within us an abundant, eternal life, and he set in motion a divine energy that would cause us to be more like Jesus every day. Amen. Eternal life is not something that just happens to us when we die, but it is something that should be happening in our lives every single day as we surrender our life to him and as we surrender our will to him, and as we surrender our purpose unto him, our hearts, our lives, our spiritual inner man should be growing every day to be more like him. It's natural for a child, if it's cared for, to grow. And in the realm of the spirit, it's natural if we are cared for and we are nurtured and we are loved and we are provided for. It's natural if we take in that nourishment that we grow and become more like Jesus. Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. He's saying that there is a growth that should be taking place. When God began to put this message upon my heart, I couldn't help but think of the signs of immaturity in the church world today. I couldn't help but think of the signs of immaturity that run rampant in the church world today. Many are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I mean, I've heard, you know, people bark like a dog and say that was God. Laugh like a lunatic and say that was God. And I believe in laughing in the spirit. But don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine looking for some new thing. You hear what I'm saying this morning? And where there is strife and where there is envy, where there is gossip and where there is backbiting and where there is anger and where there is bitterness and where there is carnality and where there is pride, there is immaturity, and it runs rampant in the church world today. All of these are nothing more than signs of immaturity, revealing the need for us to grow. Over and over, the scriptures instruct us to grow in Christ. And I submit that if we are teachable and we hear the word of God and act upon the word of God and apply the word of God, we will indeed grow. But if we are unteachable, we will hear the word and then do as our own heart desires. Like a little child hearing his mother call for supper time. And he continues to play with the neighborhood kids because it's just more fun to do his own thing. Hello? Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, God desires for us to hear and to apply. In infancy, we go to church. But in maturity, we choose by the grace of God to be the church. In infancy, we want pastor to feed us on Sunday morning, but in maturity, we realize that not only can we get some spiritual meat and substance from the pastor's message, amen, on Sunday morning, but during the week, we can get in the Word of God ourselves and begin to open the pages and find some spiritual nourishment for ourselves. In infancy, we want everyone to serve us. In maturity, we want to be a servant of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying this morning? If you're still wanting others to serve you, there might be a bit of an immaturity problem there. Amen. God did not call us, amen, for everybody to serve us. Jesus, the Bible said, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for others. In other words, when God called us, amen, into this field of Christianity, and God called our name, he intended for us to do some labor. He intended for us to serve. How many of you know a little child just wants served? James, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 22, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. If you are a hearer only, you deceive your own selves. It's not enough this morning to just hear the word. If you want to grow, you have to apply the word. Let me say that again because that preached really good. If you want to grow, you have to do more than just hear the word. You have to apply the word. Paul says to them, I have many things that I want to say to you. I have many things, or the writer of Hebrews, I have many things that I want to share with you, but you are dull of hearing. You are dull of hearing. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart that there are many things that God would love to do in our lives. I believe that there is a greater level of relationship and knowing God that none of us have entered into, that's just waiting for us to grow into. I believe there is a greater anointing of His Spirit, a greater presence of His peace in our hearts, a greater presence of His joy in our life, a greater love for the lost, and a greater compassion for the hurting and the outcast. But we too, amen, oftentimes have become dull of hearing, and we have become sluggish. And because of our lazy, lackadaisical attitude towards spiritual things, we cease to grow. Paul said to them, you are dull of hearing. What exactly does that mean? In the Greek, it literally means you have no push. You have no drive. You have no passion. You have no obsession for the things of God. You have no hunger. How many of you know hunger is something else? It'll drive you. I mean, it will make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. I'm not talking about just physical hunger. I'm talking about you get something in your spirit and you're like, my Lord have mercy, I have got to get me one of those. And I'm going to do everything I can to get it. Hello? I mean, you get a drive on the inside. A passion. You get a hunger down on the inside. And it motivates you. It moves you. It will cause you to make sacrifices in other areas of your life so that you can achieve your goal. That's what Paul's talking about, or the writer of Hebrews is talking to me. He says, you don't have that. You don't have no push. You don't have no push. You don't have no hunger. You don't have no passion. You don't have no drive. You have no hunger for the things of God. I have many things that I want to share with you, but it's difficult. It's hard because you don't want to hear it. You have no hunger for it. No push, meaning spiritually lazy, lacking spiritual desire, sluggish appetite for the things of God. And one who is difficult to teach. The Holy Spirit is saying through Paul that you have no push. You have been dwarfed in your growth because you have no burning passion for the things of God. You have no passion for the things of God. And when we become passionless and without hunger and without drive, we are more willing to just float along with the current circumstances as they are. This is what the Holy Spirit placed upon my heart. How many of you remember when you came to the Lord and that hunger that awakened in your heart, that passion that awakened in your spirit for the things of God, do you remember that fervent passion that was down on the inside of your heart to get to know Jesus in a better way? Do you remember the passion when you were first brought into the family of God? You couldn't get enough of God's word. You didn't have to have a preacher beg you to be in the house of God. Whenever the doors were open, you wanted to be there. Hello? You didn't have to have somebody instruct you that you needed to witness it to others, because when you got saved and you felt that awakening in your spirit, I mean, you couldn't wait to tell somebody about what the Lord had done in your life. You had a hunger. You had a passion. You had a drive. You had a desire to share Jesus with others because you had found something that had changed your life. And you wanted everybody else to understand this life-changing relationship with Jesus. Nobody had to encourage you to give or pump your pump to give. I mean, you just wanted to give to the Lord because you loved him. When the offering plate went around, you wanted to drop yours in. Hello? Nobody had to try to, you know, twist your arm to pray. You couldn't wait to find a time to pray. I can remember, and this is the God's honest truth, I can remember moments in my life. I can remember moments in my life that I would be so into the Word of God, reading. My wife would wake up at 3 a.m. and I would be sitting in the living room with a small light on, reading the Word of God. There were times that I would go to bed and I would literally fold up my Bible and cradle it to my chest, lay it under my arm. I wanted to be near it. I wanted it to get in me. I wanted it to get in my life. I wanted his word so badly down on the inside. Let me just ask you this morning, do you still have that kind of passion? Do you still have that kind of drive? Because I can tell you, in moments like that, when I was so hungry and so thirsty, the Bible said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the times when I found myself in that place, God allowed me to grow by leaps and bounds so that I could be more like him. Do you remember that push? Do you remember that burning fire in your heart? Do you remember that passion? Do you remember that hunger? I have some news for you this morning. God never intended for that to wear off. He never intended for that to wear off. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says these words. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul said, this one thing I do, not these 40 things I dabble in, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to let anything distract me. I got one desire. I got one passion. You hear what I'm saying this morning? I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Let me just share something with you. When you make God your priority, God will bless you with some of your desires along the way. And our problem is we are always seeking our desire and then God as well. God said, you got the cart before the horse. You are backwards. You got the cart before the horse. Put me first, and I will add everything else that you are hungering for in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. This is what the scripture says. And you shall seek me and find me, God says. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Not part of your heart. Not in a half-hearted way. But when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. That are to be our number one priority. Saints of God, what I'm saying this morning is what's missing in our lives if we are not growing as we should. What's missing in our lives is a passion to seek the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. What's missing is the passion and the fervor and the obsession and the delight and the zeal and the zest to follow after God. Most of the time, if we are honest with ourselves, we will spend our day doing what we want, and then if there is any time left over, we will search and seek the Lord. Our priorities are wrong. No wonder there is no growth. No wonder there is no growth. If we do not receive the right spiritual nourishment, our spirit man cannot grow. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to close. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus said these words when he was talking about the parable of the sower. He said, The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked out by the worries of life and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature, meaning they do not grow up. If there's going to be a crop, if there's going to be a maturation, there's going to have to be a desire and a responsibility on our part to passionately seek the Lord. What the Holy Spirit placed on my heart this morning is let us not be like the writer who's writing into the book of Hebrews and writing to his audience and telling them, you have no push. You have no desire for the things of God. Let us not be as they were. It is so easy for us to become complacent and lethargic, but it will affect our spiritual growth. Amen. How do you know, Pastor Gary, how do you know if that's happening to me? Ask yourself, am I growing? Am I learning? Am I hungry for more? Am I passionate about my walk with God? Am I passionate about my relationship with Him? Am I obeying Christ in a greater measure than ever before? Am I striving to draw close unto Him? Amen. If He said, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Am I striving to draw nearer and closer? Am I trying in my life to be more and more like Him? And we can answer that question. We know the answer to that question. Maybe we are here this morning and we are resisting His counsel and rebelling against His word, and we are still having the same two-year-old arguments in the Lord. You know, like the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to obey that. I like this, but I don't like that. Hello? Well, he never said we could pick or choose. He never said we could pick or choose. Wow, this is rough. That's a tough word, isn't it? But I'm just here to tell you this morning, if you want to grow, you have to humble yourself before the Lord. You have to be obedient to the word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You have to yield your life. He has to become Lord of every area of your life. You have to have some desire and some passion to serve Him and live for Him, amen, and witness for Him and be more like Him. And when you do, I promise you, you will grow in the Lord. Time to grow up. Time to grow up. Bow your heads, please. Now, while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I ask you to just look within your heart and ask yourself this question: am I growing? If I'm not growing, then what are the obstacles to my growth? What's hindering me? What's holding me back? What's holding me back? What's keeping me from becoming everything that God wants me to be? What's keeping me from doing everything that God wants me to do? What's hindering my life? What's hindering my growth? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I sensed as I ministered this word. But we come to you now at the close of this message. And I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would take the words of the message that you have me speak, and I pray that you would plant it deep within our hearts. Help us to understand that it is your will for us to grow and mature and to be more and more and more and more like Christ. Help us not to be a picture of those that the writer of Hebrews addressed. Help us not to be dull of hearing, lethargic when it comes to spiritual things. Help us not to become so familiar with things that they no longer impact us. Help us to understand that it is natural for there to be a process of growth, and that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And where there is life, there is growth. I pray, Heavenly Father, if we look in our heart and we confess to ourselves that we're not growing as we should, something is wrong. Something is hindering. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal that to us. That you would speak to our hearts and that you would reveal that to us. And that you would allow us to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, so that we can run this race and be victorious in the end. Speak to our hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Gary, you preach this to speak to my heart. I'm not growing in certain areas of my life as I should. I've allowed some hindrances along the way. If that's you, slip up your hand. Say, that's me. God sees hands. God sees hands. I did not come this morning to scold you. I came this morning with an humble heart to endeavor to encourage you. That no matter where you are in the Lord, He desires to take you to another level. A greater joy, a greater sense of peace, a greater anointing, a renewed fellowship. I came to tell you that He loves you enough that He would speak correctively, so that you might recognize, that we might recognize the errors of our ways and walk more closely with Him, that we might grow up in the fullness of Christ, that our lives would be the measure for others to see Jesus in us. Stand to your feet all over the building. Hands have been lifted. Hands have been lifted. Let me pray with them, and then we'll have the ministry team come back to sing. Lord God, Thank you for loving us enough to correct us, to share with us the errors of our way. Thank you for every hand that was lifted this morning. Bring, I pray, right now, Father, a renewal of your spirit, a renewal of your joy, a renewal of your passion in our hearts and in our life. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would embed the word deeply within our heart, and that whenever the enemy would come and we would, amen, feel as if we should lay aside something that the Lord has spoken to, then Lord, speak to us. Encourage us, strengthen us, and put us on that right path. The path to maturity, the path to growth. Take us to that level, Father, that you desire to take us. Help us to grow in you. Restore our passion. Restore our obsession for the things of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come and sing.